I'm living a movie, not living by rules. It's just a movie, don't lose your cool.
Yolo, and welcome to another episode of Spoil Movie Reviews on the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rod. Of course, you know me. And I am joined by none other than my co-host on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cast podcast, William Bibbiani. Bibbs!
Sup, yo?
What's up, dog?
What's up?
He's the host of the B-Movies podcast, film channel editor at CraveOnline.com, and the star of 12 Days of Killmas, a web series on YouTube where he's reviewing one Christmas-themed horror movie a day from Friday the 13th through Christmas Eve. Woo! Are you gonna review Black Christmas?
We're reviewing both Black Christmases.
Yeah, very misleading movie. I went went there, was very disappointed. No black people in it. Well, all right, man. We're reviewing Out of the Furnace today, and Spoil Movie Reviews is obviously for people who've seen the movie, never plan on seeing the movie, or just don't give a fuck because we spoil shit here. Casey Affleck dies, y'all, and he dies horribly. And Christian Bale gets revenge, and he's supposed to learn to let shit go, and he doesn't. Let's get right into it, man. We break it down simply here. We talk about what we liked, what we did not like, and then we give it a review on this More Epic Than Love John scale from 0 to 5. I will start with you, Bibbs. What did you like about this film?
Oh, God, I don't know. Here's what I'll say about this. Okay, so Out of the Furnace is the second feature film from Scott Cooper, the guy who directed Crazy Heart, which Crazy Heart was a pretty good movie. Mm-hmm. And Out of the Furnace is not. So if I'm reaching, because this movie is terrible, I would say that although they're working with some pretty crappy material, I think the actors are doing the best they can. Mm-hmm. I think if the movie is watchable at all, it is because it has an excellent cast. And other than that, I'll say that there's like one or two like kind of cool fist fights in it. Like, Casey Affleck gets caught up in an underground fighting tournament. That's like not a cool one, not like a Man of Tai Chi Game of Death underground fighting, a tournament. Well, Enter the Dragon, not Game of Death, but anyway, like not a cool one, not Street Fighter. It's shitty, crawling around in the mud while rednecks yell at you in a circle. I could have really.
It looked like a mix between Fight Club and Lionheart, whatever they were doing down there. Like
Lionheart.
Lionheart, where John Claude Van Damme had that black dude that was his coach. That was a good ass movie.
Oh God! All right, fine. It's no Bloodsport. I'll just put.
Yeah, it's terrible. The fighting choreography is so basic that you're really like, why are we watching this?
This movie is desperately trying to be about something like this, and it's just people yelling, "This is about the economy!"
Yeah.
And like they have a gun on each other. It's like, you don't understand the Iraq War, and I'm like, okay, fine, Jesus, just knock it off. Like it's trying so hard to be about something important that it forgets to be a fun movie because it's a fun movie plot. It's a revenge plot.
Yes.
You know, if you have that kind of like, it's almost like a Grindhouse level of plot to it. Like, you know, like 1970s scuzz cinema, just people wailing on each other because their life is hard. Mm-hmm. Like that's a movie. You can make that movie, But like, it's so committed to being serious that you can't even enjoy the stuff that should be enjoyable.
Yes.
So like it drives me up the wall. I have very few nice things to say about this movie.
Yeah, as far as things that I think worked for the movie, I think it was written, directed and shot very darkly. And it was a very dark movie. Like they successfully darkened the shit out of every scene. Every scene feels like it's not lit right. Like the place they live feels like the sun never shines in Pennsylvania.
Dude, you don't get it. It's sad.
Right? It's so like over. Like if that was one, that was obviously one of their goals. And I have to say they were able to do it. I forgot to read the synopsis, a storyline. So let me tell you guys. Russell and his younger brother Rodney live in the economically depressed Rust Belt and have always dreamed of escaping and finding better lives. But when a cruel twist of fate lands Russell in prison, his brother is lured into one of the most violent and ruthless crime rings in the Northeast. A mistake that will almost cost him everything. Well, it did cost him everything, cost him his life. Once released, Russell must choose between his own freedom or risk it all to seek justice for his brother. That synopsis is written way better than the movie was, as far as conveying those stakes, I felt. Cause they don't, like, all right, I'm not gonna say the stuff I don't like yet. So let me talk about the things other things I did like. I liked the montage of, Christian Bale cleaning up that house. That was cool. He really straightened that bad boy up and did a lot of stuff there. I enjoyed, the scene with Zoe Saldana, where she tells him that she's pregnant with that other dude's baby, far as we the baby.
That's some really good acting from Christian Bale in that scene. Like, yeah. He really handles that really. He's a trooper in that one.
Yeah, like that was
he goes
good.
Up to her and he's all like, you know, I just got out of jail and I waited for you. And, you know, I just wanted to be able to start a life back together. And she's like, yeah, I'm pregnant. And she's like, and he's like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for you. Good for you.
Hey,
I'm going to go. Like, he's trying to be positive, but he just can't hold in like the misery and regret. And it's like, it's almost comic, but he sells it really, really well. Like, you really do feel bad for that guy.
It really was. So, like, yeah, very few actors could carry that scene, man.
Yeah.
I want that GIF when, people put it on the internet, cause I feel that way sometimes. But also, Woody Harrelson, I would like to give him credit. He hammed it up so hard in this fucking movie.
He's having a lot of fun.
It's one of those times where the movie is forgettable. I'll never recommend anyone to watch this, but people that have watched it, I will be able to have that, like, hey, remember that time Woody Harrelson completely sold out, like, sold everything to play this role in this shitty, shitty, shitty movie. Like, Coley should have just mailed it in and been like, give me my check, but he's like, nope.
Well, you know, everyone's in this movie. This has an all-star cast. Like, Forrest Whitaker is in this movie for no reason.
No reason.
Like he's just there to be Forrest Whitaker. Like, you could have gotten, like, anyone. Like, Michael Rapaport could have played that role, and it would have required just as much from him.
Yes.
And not that I have anything against Michael Rapaport. He's just no Forrest Whitaker.
Right.
And, like, they did this movie because this is the guy who did Crazy Heart and got, like, you know, Jeff Bridges finally got his Oscar for Crazy Heart. Maggie Gyllenhaal got a nomination, like, surprised everyone. Everyone loved Crazy Heart. They're like, oh, we'll just do whatever this guy's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this guy's got the goods. And they're just like, well, this reads like shit. Well, this guy's doing it, so, like, maybe it'll be okay. Like, maybe he's just got some really great master plan that we can't see. Nope.
Yep.
Quite a bad film.
Willem Dafoe's in this bad boy. I enjoy him hamming it up in his role. Like, individually, individually, the actors commit so hard that it's like, I was laughing at parts that were supposed to be extremely sad just because I was like, He really sold everything to get into this part. Like, there's a part where Woody Harrelson sizes up Casey Affleck.
Yeah, that's a good manly moment.
Though. Yeah, it's so, like, pointlessly macho, and they're committed to it. There's no, like, no real comedy to it. There's no play. Like, it's just so, like, oh, you really think you bad. He slaps him in the face and shit. And I was like, oh, I wish I was on set to just see this, like, how many times you slapped them and, like, you know, all this shit. But yeah, man, so I will give it to that, man. The casting and the acting was good. The way they trapped Desolation, this should have been called the Desolation of something, because it was very desolating. Let's talk about
impressive.
Let's talk about what we didn't like, because I feel
everything
like
everything else.
Like,
this movie is bad. This movie
it's
is
so bad.
And it's the worst kind of bad. And it's the worst kind of bad because it's the kind of bad movie that thinks it's a great movie.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, if a fucking Adam Sandler movie is bad, they're not trying too hard to tug at your heartstrings. So, like, it's still terrible, but, like, it doesn't it does offend me, but it doesn't offend me for, like, existing. Like, I get it. I know why you're out there. All right? This is the kind of movie that's, like, it's almost like, you know, like in Tropic Thunder, they say never go full retard.
Yes.
You know, like, cause like you're trying way too hard to be, like, you know, really miserable and serious and no one can take you seriously. This movie is full retard. Just no one happens to be mentally challenged in the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, this movie is going full bore every fucking shot. Tells you this is an important movie, and none of the actual movie backs that up.
Yeah.
Like, the actual story and the writing is so hammy. Like, this is the plot of, like, a straight-to-video Steven Seagal movie. Mm-hmm. And they're treating it like an Oscar contender. And there's something for that. Like, Quentin Tarantino might be able to get away with that shit. You know, because he has, right. like, a sensibility. He'd know, like, what parts of it were, like, dumb and weird and overblown, and he'd play with them a little bit. This is just, like, it's taking it so seriously that you can't take it seriously.
Yes,
like, I agree. You can't. And if you can take it seriously, it's just so depressing. There's no reason to watch it. It's, like, it's depressing in service of such a ham-fisted idea. It's, like, you don't understand. Times are hard. No, I got that. I live in these times.
Yeah, it felt a lot
I'm here, man.
It felt almost, classist in a way, like all these rich people doing their interpretation of what it must be like to be you know, struggling to make it, like no yeah. one else, like as if the audience would be like, what, there are people getting laid off at the factory? That's
did you ever see a movie called Sullivan's Travels?
No, I have not seen Sullivan Travel.
A classic comedy, but and the movie is about a director, and he makes all these fun movies, like musicals and action movies or whatever, and he wants to do a serious movie. He wants to make a serious movie about homelessness in America. But he doesn't understand homelessness in America because he's a rich white guy.
Right.
So he tries to impersonate a homeless person in order to find out what it's really, really like. And what he eventually discovers over the course of the film is that the only, like, making that movie won't help the homeless. It'll just, like, distract the rich.
Right.
You know, like what people want who are actually miserable is to not be miserable. Mm-hmm. And just shoving misery back in their faces isn't helping them. And that's what I think of when I think of Out of the Furnace. This movie is just shoving misery back in our faces, and it's not saying anything new or unexpected or interesting about it. It's just saying everything sucks.
Right.
We can't even make a good movie about this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that is sad.
Yeah, I thought that, yeah, I really thought that they hammered it home, a point that they didn't need to. Also, like, as much as I laud the cast for really buying into these roles, I wish they had dialed it down just a little bit, because the accents they were trying to pull off and, like, the grumbling type of talk that they were doing, and some of the, like, scenes where they're supposed to be talking to each other, and I guess they were trying to just, like, I don't know if there was some type of statement they were trying to say about manliness or poverty or what, but there's too many scenes where they don't talk, and it's just, you're watching two people stare at each other and then say weird shit to each other, but then they're kind of grumbling it, and you just come on going like, I guess that was a conversation that was important, or maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know. We'll find out later in the movie, I guess.
There's a better movie that touches upon a lot of these kinds of, like, manliness themes and issues of poverty and the economy that came out earlier this year called Mud. Did you see Mud?
No, but I had a screener now, so I get to watch
it. Oh, you should watch that shit. It's a good flick.
All right.
And it takes place in the Deep South, like on the rivers in Louisiana. It is a good movie. It's not my favorite movie of the year or nothing, but it is very well acted. It has a sense. The tone is very serious, but also has room for levity. It also ends in, like, a big action sequence, but that one actually feels deserved.
Right.
People have interesting things to say about life, not just life is hard.
Kind of like,
it's a good movie.
Kind of like Beast of the Southern Wild.
Yeah, a little bit more whitey.
Right, right.
The Beast of the Southern Wild. But yeah, I love Beast of the Southern Wild. That's a great flick.
But where it's like, these people are poor, but they're not just here to be on screen and poor. They actually, you know, there's a community in life to what they do. And it's not just all misery and sadness, you know, like that.
Yeah.
It felt like this movie was all misery, like to the point where when his brother dies, part of me is like, why are you even so upset? Like, you know what I mean? Cause they don't really have that familial relationship. They don't even show them ever have a good time. Like, there's nothing for, you need something for me to latch onto as an audience member where I go, oh, that guy's gone. Instead, I'm just like, so the crazy schizo gambling debt brother is dead? Like, yeah, that makes sense. He was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So,
like, you know, like, I felt bad for him. Like, he effectively made me like, yeah, that guy had a shit life, you know? That sucks. He should have had to go through all that. But that's all I get out of him, is that it's sad.
Yeah, he had no kids.
Like, it doesn't, but I don't feel connected to him. I don't feel like I've lost anything
right.
when he's out of the movie.
Right. If he would have had like,
I don't miss him.
If he would have had like a family or something, maybe, because then you go, oh, well, his family is all fucked up. Like, just something. Like, in this movie, the father's dead. The fucking, the uncle that you only see a couple times shows back up, but there's just never a good time in this movie.
Well, that's the thing, though. This movie is all about taking things away from Christian Bale.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, everything in this movie that happens to make Christian Bale's life worse and more lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, I get it. Like, that's, there's a drama to that, but that's all it's there to do is to make this one character miserable. But, you know, one of my favorite genres is the poor bastard genre,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like, there's a guy, maybe he's a douche, maybe he's not, but like, the world shits on them.
Mm.
And you just like, and you want them to achieve. Maybe they don't. Maybe they do. I mean, poor bastard genre movies include like the Evil Dead movies. Like everything that happens to Bruce Campbell and that is poor bastard shit.
Yes.
Especially Evil Dead 2. Or After Hours, that great Martin Scorsese movie with Griffin Dunne. It's just like, what more crap can we pile on this one person and just see? Or Gravity is another one. Like, how can we make their life that much more hopeless and terrible? But the point of that genre is you want to see them persevere in some way.
Right.
You want to see them eke out a small victory, because if they don't, and if you're not, and if you, the director doesn't find an amusing way to tell that story that doesn't just make it oppressive, then it's just a bummer.
Right. And
this is a bummer. That's all this movie is a bummer.
And even in the end with this one, they even take away the revenge aspect of it, because there's no good, clean, like, yeah, you killed that motherfucker moment. It's kind of like you're actually rooting for Forrest Whitaker in that last scene where it's like,
yeah,
dude, don't kill him, because you're just getting back on your feet. And this is gonna put you back in prison. Just fucking don't do it, man. Like, the guy's not worth it. You've fucking done everything you can to him. Just let it go. And he kills him, and then the movie just goes to credits, and you're like, well, that was a waste of 2 hours, you know?
I did really, really like Woody Harrelson's performance.
He was so
in that
good.
Last scene, because he's like, he's been built up so much, this macho asshole who can like take care of anything and doesn't give a fuck about consequences. But like the last like 5-10 minutes of this movie is just Christian Bale hunting him down as Woody Harrelson is wounded, and he gets really pathetic, and it's hard not to feel a little bad for him.
Yes, yes.
You know, because that's a human thing. It doesn't matter what he did. Right now, he's pathetic.
Right.
And that was actually a good little bit of drama. And I kind of dug that.
He did a great job, man.
He was good. Yeah.
Woody sold it, man. The other thing that was weird, and I don't know if white people would pick up on this, but I didn't like that the way they displayed poverty as a backdrop was having a whole lot of black extras. Like, that was like, I just kept noticing it, and I kept expecting some of them to maybe have a speaking role, or like the neighbor across the street wave, or just, you know, something to show like we're still kind of the same, like you're of this neighborhood. You're not, you're not a white person so down on his luck that you live here. You're a guy who like grew up here and fucking, you know.
Yeah, that would have helped. That would help. But it does have like this is playing devil's advocate for a second. There are prominent actors of color in it. Like Forrest Whitaker is a respectable
Saldana.
Member of the community.
Yep.
Zoe Saldana is black-ish. Like, is she just straight up black, or is she like mixed?
See, I don't know. I think she's mixed, actually, because there's a big problem.
I interviewed her for this movie, and I had to interview her in a hotel room in front of her family. And it was a really large family, and there was like a dinner table there. And as I asked her questions, occasionally like her mom or her aunt or someone I didn't get properly introduced would be like,
It
was really fun. It was kind of awkward actually in an interview, because you can tell like she wasn't like too relaxed.
Yeah.
But like it was really, really funny.
Well, also, you know, like the movie's kind of depressing. It's like, what can you ask almost, you know?
I think I might have asked her in the entire interview like one question. I think I asked her more questions about that movie she did with Britney Spears, Crossroads, than I did about Out of the Furnace.
Yeah, I don't blame
you. It was a series of weird interviews. I also interviewed Casey Affleck, and like you get like 10 minutes with these people. We spent like the first 5 with him just asking me, so what you seen lately? Oh, really? Blue is the Warmest Color? Is that as good as everyone says? No, I haven't seen it. Well, what about the new Woody Allen movie? You see that? Oh, was it good? No, I haven't seen that either. Like, that was it. He just wanted to, like, talk to someone else. Like, I don't want to talk about me right now.
Yeah, not this movie. Can you wait till I do another movie?
Yeah.
Well,
nice,
yeah.
Nice guy, though. Nice guy.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it does. I'm not saying it has a, it doesn't have enough black people in it, for the record. It just felt weird because it felt like the whole way they were trying to say they were poor were just like, and yeah, here's some black people walking into the house across the street. And it's like, yeah, yeah, that's weird. Or when they go to the gambling spot, mm-hmm, it's like everyone in there is in there is like black except for Casey Affleck, the dude taking bets, and then his brother. It's like, I get it, Hollywood. I get it.
Here's a question. Let's be constructive for a second. Mm-hmm. Is the way to fix that problem, there are two ways to fix that problem. One, no black people in the movie at all, except maybe Forest Whitaker and Zoe Saldana, or all the characters are black.
First of all, if all the characters were black, that would be cool. But two,
this wouldn't piss you off. This wouldn't be like, all right, black people have it hard.
Nah, I'd be cool with that. That's like that's our genre now. Like we kind of stole that from Hollywood. Now that's, we got that back. But nah, I would have been cool with like I said, this is a minor gripe, but I would have been like what would have solved it for me is like maybe when he comes from prison, someone says hey. Or brings them a pie or something. Just something to show that.
Get a sense of community.
Yeah. And maybe they did it on purpose to show that they don't have friends and shit. Maybe like, but, you know, just, I think that would have been cool. And plus I feel like they already kind of established a certain amount of, oh no, it's not like these dudes are racist assholes because, you know, he meets his family. They're asking him about Zoe Saldana, who's his girlfriend. No one has any like tongue in cheek, you know, racism to add to the conversation. So you kind of get a feeling of like, oh, these are good people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it wasn't even a feeling of like, y'all racist. It just felt like the director is like, hey, there could be some white people that live in the neighborhood too, you know? So that was one thing. Another thing was the entire scene where they go quote unquote undercover that felt too fucking random. Like, It felt like it worked out too easy for something that they did not really meet. You know, where they like find out they're in the guy's house and now they know where he lives.
That's actually, here's the thing. I thought that was a cool moment at first. Where it was just like, you know, yeah, we're looking for this guy. You know, where it's like, actually, you're in his house. I'm like, how is that not a suspense sequence?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the moment where you're just like, oh, shit.
It felt like wasted.
They try to leave, but Woody Harrelson's there. Maybe they interact with them. Right. They're, like, they're trying not to, like, Christian Bale's like trying to like, you know, hold in his anger and not start anything now because he's surrounded by Woody Harrelson's guys. Like that could have been a really, really cool sequence. And instead they just leave.
And there you have, that's exactly what I'm saying. It's the reason that it feels random is because they don't do anything with it.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be like, we're in. That's the call is coming from in the house moment.
Exactly. That's that moment. It's a good moment. And they just do nothing with it.
Yeah. They get in the car. And
the movie isn't a good thriller. Like, it's built up as a thriller. It has the plot of a thriller, but it refuses to thrill you as if thrilling you would be tacky.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Man. Like, we're going to do a thriller, but we're such a good drama, there will be no thrills.
Yeah, dude.
That's not how that works.
That was weird. And then the other scene that, and maybe it's just because I've seen too many movies, so if I'm being too hard on the movie, then that's my fault, but... the part where they're breaking into that house and Woody Harrelson's in another house and they try to do the back and forth, like maybe he's in this house, maybe he's not, is such bullshit. It was like, there's 20 minutes to go in the film. You're not going to find him in the fucking house. It doesn't even make sense that he would be in this house. So
they pull the Silence of the Lambs gag. That's what they do.
Yeah. And I've seen
that's
it too
exactly
often.
That gag.
Right. I've seen it too often. So that wasn't cool. There was one more thing they did that was, the fucking Fight Club comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's pretty random, right?
They don't even set it up. Like, they don't even have, like, just a mention in the start where it's like, well, you could always go fight in the Fight Club. Like, it just completely comes out of nowhere. It's like, guess what, guys? Fight Club. We do Fight Clubs up here because we're poor mountain folk. And I did feel the movie was really racist against poor mountain folk. Like, that shit was so bad. Nothing redeeming.
It's really a cliche.
Yeah, it was nothing redeeming about. I was like, finally the white man gets to feel what it is like, because that was so fucked up about just poor white people.
There is no even black. I mean, not today. Mm-hmm. I honestly feel like there is no more demonized group of people in movies than anyone from the Deep South.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a whole genre. And a large one, too, that consists entirely of people from a big city go to the Deep South and get eaten.
Right.
That's an entire, and it's a big genre.
Yeah.
That's how much we hate those people. We resent them. We feel bad about them. We're ashamed of them because of the whole Civil War thing. It's fucking rude.
It is. I mean,
they're assholes in every part of this country. There are idiots and monsters and criminals in every part of this country. There's also a lot of really cool people in the South.
Right.
There was a couple of great exposés, about people in the South who, like, you know, they're actually, like, really progressive and cool, and, like, they don't, like, you know, they did those things that they do, like, where it's, like, we're gonna, like, put in, like, a situation, we're gonna, like, a candid camera thing, where, like, people will, like, you know, someone will make a scene in a restaurant about two people in the restaurant being gay, and just see if anyone in the restaurant who doesn't know about it sticks up for them, and a lot of them did!
Right.
Like, a lot of people are just like, dude! That's not cool.
It's like the first season of American Horror Story, where like the villain is just Southern weird people. It felt like they were trying to go for some Deliverance shit with the Appalachian Mountains or whatever it was, the mountains in like Pennsylvania or something, or New Jersey. But it just felt weird because, like, I don't even know if there is shit real in New Jersey. Like, I was like, New Jersey has mountain folk and they're.
They're within driving distance. I mean, yeah. They had to go to like another state.
And it's all backwoods and evil like that, you think?
There's probably a few. I mean, there's the Catskills, man. There's some fucking, you know, people there who, you know, they have a lot of cat skills. And they get those through. I did not think out the sentence before I began it. My point is that there are people, there are backwards people all over the planet, and there's bound to be some within driving distance of anywhere.
Well, it felt like they went, because if that's supposed to be rural North New Jersey, it felt like they went, like, it felt like they were saying that happened in, like, somewhere in, like, Mississippi or South Carolina, because it felt very, very Southern. And the accents they chose felt very Southern. It just felt weird, man. It's a very weird movie, man. Let's go ahead and rate this shit.
Shit sounds good. Let's go with shit. Here's the thing. If you absolutely love these actors, like absolutely love them, we'll see anything they're in. This is a Netflix maybe, but man, fuck you.
Yeah.
Pretty much man, fuck you.
I have to give it a zero, man, because I was like, the feeling I had leaving the theater, I was just angry with all of them for like being so good and signing up for this. And, you know, and I know it wasn't just me, because like when the credits rolled after that last gunshot, three or four people in my theater audibly groaned. Like, just, oh, come on, man.
Yeah. No. So, damn disappointing all around.
Yeah, man. So, I guess a man fuck you from me. And, you guys, go check out Bibbs, and his work at, craveonline.com, the B Movie Podcast, B Movies Podcast.
And 12 Days of Killmas is, running now, December 13th to 24th. Video reviews of Christmas horror movies. We're having a lot of fun. There's sketches and everything. It's great.
Make sure you guys check him out, man. Follow him on Twitter too, man. He's a good Twitter follow.
Thanks, man.
All right, man.
You are too.
Appreciate you, man. All right, man. See you guys next time. Boom.
Get your act together. My life's a movie. I leave you in that act forever.
Life's like a movie. My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie.